Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Crazy for the Competition by Cindy Madsen, narrated by Tiffany Morgan. Chapter 1. Impressing boyfriends' parents wasn't something Quinn Sakata was known for. Well, she definitely left an impression, just not the good kind. Her first awkward meet-the-parents moment had been when she was 16, after she'd accidentally stranded herself and her boyfriend at the time in the middle of Hope Springs Reservoir, and they'd had to call his parents to rescue them. In her defense, there'd been maneuvering around in the tiny boat for kissing purposes, and while she'd known she'd knocked something over, the splash had seemed so inconsequential with his lips against hers. Turns out, oars are more important than you'd think. Then there was the summer after junior year, when Jackson Cooper's mama had come home unexpectedly and found Quinn and him making out on the couch, clothes askew, damning empty beer cans on the table. His mother had asked for her name, but only so she could call her parents, which had resulted in one of many groundings. Which was why being in a church with her current boyfriend's family meant sweaty palms and second-guessing every movement she made and word she said. I knew getting involved with the brother of the groom was a bad idea. It didn't help that her sister, mother, and aunt were all eyeing her, giving her looks that screamed, "You'd better be on your best behavior," as the wedding rehearsal kicked off. It's like they think I'm some kind of ticking time bomb. Their worried looks only made her nerves bounce that much higher. So she told herself if she did slip to make sure she transitioned to speaking Japanese, so at least the Rutherfords wouldn't understand what she'd said. Quinn took a deep breath and then slowly let it out. I got this. I make risky acquisitions with my father constantly looking over my shoulder. Impressing my boyfriend's parents is a cakewalk in comparison. I can't wait for the cake tomorrow. The incessant hammering echoing through the church made it hard to hear the preacher's words as he detailed exactly what would happen tomorrow when her little sister Maya and her fiancé Stephen Rutherford got married. Not that Quinn was paying that close attention. How much prep did walking down an aisle at the speed of nail polish drying take, anyway? Being in the middle of a business deal that had nothing to do with her regular job wasn't helping her concentration either. As the mother of the bride, Haha beamed, absorbing a moment she'd obviously waited for all her life. Of course, her mother made sure to mention to Quinn that as the eldest, she always thought she'd marry first. No thanks on that. Chi-Chi stood next to Haha, also beaming and backing her up whenever she needed help with the wedding prep. Quinn had always admired the team her parents made. Quinn peeked inside her purse at her phone, silently begging it to ring. The town committee had promised a decision by 5, and it was a quarter till. She'd get a dirty look from Haha for answering, but there was no way she'd miss it. Chi-Chi would assume it was a business call, like 90% of her calls were, and let it go. This was business, but it was also personal, and what she hoped to one day turn into professional. If the deal did go through, Chi-Chi would no doubt be disappointed in her decision to move another away, but she couldn't dwell on that right now. "Quinn-chan, come stand off to this side with Maya-chan," Haha said, directing her to the left of the altar, where the hammering noise only grew louder. Apparently, there were a few last-minute touch-ups going on to make sure everything was ready for tomorrow's ceremony. Maya bumped her hip into Quinn's. "Just another hour, and it'll be over. And then, tomorrow," her face lit up and her voice pitched higher, "I'll be married." Before Quinn could give her sister a hug like she'd planned, Haha grabbed her shoulders and twisted her to stand sideways. "Turn this way. No slouching. And would a smile kill you?" "Maybe," Quinn said. "Is that a chance you really want to take?" "Oops. Those are the inside thoughts today, remember?" Luckily, Haha didn't bother with a response. She was used to the sarcasm. With the Rutherfords lined up on the other side, they probably hadn't heard either, so no harm done. Haha continued rearranging everyone in place, making the groomsmen switch order when she didn't like the height differences. Perfectionist was an understatement, not to mention how determined she was to show the Rutherfords that a small town celebration could be just as extravagant as one in the city. There were caterers driving in from two towns over, and the decorators had driven up from Salt Lake to deck out the town square. The entire reason Maya had wanted to be married in Hope Springs instead of Cheyenne, where all of their family had relocated for the time being, was the small-town charm. Despite their many moves through the years, the sisters both considered it their real home. It was where they had their best memories. But the Sakatas were big on impressions, especially when clients were invited and they were trying to one-up the Joneses, or Rutherfords, as it were. Quinn had asked Maya if she wanted all the fuss, and while she could tell her sister didn't, Maya asked her to let it go. So, for her sake, she'd be compliant. She reached over and squeezed her sister's hand. It'll be like in The Little Mermaid, when the whole kingdom's there to see. Maya laughed. My dress is sparkly. We just need to get you a gold tiara, real quick. Do you think Chi-Chi would hold a trident? And sprout a tail? The image made them erupt into the kind of silent laughter where you hold in the sound, but your entire body convulses with it. When they'd played The Little Mermaid growing up, Maya was always Ariel and Quinn was Ursula. It was more fun, until that whole getting rammed through with a sharp pole and dying an electric death thing. The characters they'd gravitated toward pretty much summed up their polar opposite personalities. All growing up, Quinn heard things like, "Why can't you be more like your sister?" and "Look at Maya, she's the younger one and she's the better example." From her parents, teachers, other family members, pretty much everyone except their maternal grandmother, Sobomachi, who was one of the few people who'd actually understood Quinn. While that might lead some to resent their sibling, Quinn had never felt that way about Maya. She wanted to protect her sister's shiny, hopeful outlook of the world and make sure all her optimistic dreams came true. Maya's one rebellion through the years was to sneak into Quinn's room after Haha and Chi-Chi were asleep. They'd whisper and giggle and tell stories long into the night, and Quinn often had to carry Maya back to her room after she fell asleep so they wouldn't get caught. So, despite their different personalities, they'd always been close, and Quinn would do most anything to make her sister happy. "It's going to be perfect," she whispered to Maya, giving her hand another squeeze. When she glanced up, Mrs. Rutherford quickly looked away as if she'd been studying her. It hadn't been easy to hold back snarky comments when the woman remarked on the quaintness of the town in that condescending, grating way people did when they tried to make insults sound like compliments. Hope Springs was Quinn's town, even if she didn't currently live here. Although, if this deal she was waiting on went through, she'd change that soon. Please, please, please let it go through. Grayson flashed her a smile from the Rutherford side. They'd started dating because his brother had been dating her sister, and they were always together anyway, so it made sense. Haha and Chi-Chi approved, which always made it easier, if a little less fun, and he fit in with her new plan to date boys who wouldn't stomp all over her heart for sport. She was trying to be more mature, as her father constantly pointed out she needed to be. Maturity blows, and it's boring. The truth was, she missed the excitement of dating someone not so calm and predictable. Not to mention, she always felt like she fell a little short of who Grayson wanted her to be. "What's wrong with me? He's a successful man who treats me well. He talks about his stocks a lot." But that was easy enough to tune out. When she'd dared to suggest to Maya that he might not be the guy for her, her sister had freaked out and made her promise not to break up with him before the wedding. Which was good, she supposed. It gave her a couple more days to see how he interacted with his family and hers and decide if it was time to end it or take things to the next level. Plus, having him in Hope Springs would give her the chance to introduce him to Sadie, and her best friend would help her figure out her next step. A calm washed over her at the thought. She'd been so antsy on this trip, it was hard to concentrate when her dream hung in the balance so close she could taste it. The hammering continued, the noise pounding behind Quinn's temples. She was tempted to march over and yell, "What are you doing back there? Building an ark? Can you maybe just shut up for 15 minutes so we can get through this and go home?" Instead, she tried to concentrate as the preacher went over the final details. Yeah, let's wrap it up. We walk down the aisle, and then they exchange vows, people cry, then they go eat and dance in the town square. It's not exactly rehearsal-worthy. Quinn peeked at the screen of her phone again and then made sure the sound was on. It's all going to work out. It's got to. First, she'd use the money she'd scrimped and saved to secure the rundown Mountain Ridge bed and breakfast she'd fallen in love with as a child. Then, she'd turn it into a beautiful property where she could finally be free of her father as a boss and a job that she was good at but didn't love. Free from all feelings of obligation and no dealing with implications that she'd only gotten where she was because of who her father was. She couldn't wait to have something that was 100% hers. "Just call already. I've jumped through all your hoops, and now I'm ready to turn my dream into a reality." Haha cleared her throat, and Quinn glanced up. Oops, everyone else had moved. Quinn's heels tapped a quick rhythm against the hardwood floor as she hastened toward the end of the aisle to do another trial run, just in case someone had forgotten how to walk in the last 10 minutes. Quinn ended up next to Mrs. Rutherford, and the woman's eyes went to Quinn's necklace, more accurately, the diamond hanging from it. Grayson had gifted it to her a few months ago. It had nearly sent her running because he was obviously more serious about her than she was about him. But then she'd remembered being serious about relationships was something she was looking for, in theory. Guilt swirled through her gut, but she told herself that she did care about him. She'd even let him know she wasn't ready to get too serious yet, so it wasn't like she was leading him on. "My son has good taste," Mrs. Rutherford said. Quinn smiled. "Yes, he does. He's a very bright boy." Were those words actually coming out of her mouth? She didn't say things like "bright boy," but she didn't think she should mention that the first thing she'd noticed when Maya introduced them was how nicely he filled out a suit, especially from the back. So she nodded like the good little girl her family expected her to be. And Mrs. Rutherford actually smiled what appeared to be a perfectly nice, genuine smile. "Here I am, impressing my boyfriend's mother. Go me!" If her phone could just ring right now and she could excuse herself before she said or did anything wrong, that'd be great. Or maybe the phone call would screw it up, but not knowing if she'd gotten the property or not was making her crazier with every minute closer it got to 5. The hammering stopped, the quiet suddenly loud in its absence. Then the embodiment of every fantasy she'd ever had, every bad boy she'd ever dated or lusted after rolled into one, stepped out from behind the podium, hammer in hand, a light sheen of sweat on his forehead. His arms were ripped and tattooed, his ears pierced, and his jeans and t-shirt snug. Her knees trembled, her mouth went dry, and her heart beat faster than it had since she'd had that regrettable treadmill tripping incident at the gym a few months ago. She'd given up exercise for her health after that. The guy lifted the bottom of his shirt and wiped at his face, exposing glorious abs covered in more tattoos. Holy shitballs, Quinn said, and although she'd meant for it to be a whisper, it more burst out of her and echoed around the room, filling every corner of the chapel, drifting across the preacher, and bouncing right back to the entire wedding party. Maya fought back a smile, but hit it with her fake flower bouquet prop. Ha-ha shot her a death glare, and Chi-Chi's mouth formed a line so tight it looked like he'd lost it altogether. As for the groom's side, it was dropped jaws, hands thrown over hearts, and a general mix of shock and awe that she'd enjoy under other circumstances, but didn't strike her as particularly amusing now, especially combined with the pale pallor of the new town preacher. At least Grayson was more caught in a permanent flinch than a disapproving scowl. Well, hell. Did she mention she wasn't particularly good at first impressions? Heath fought back a laugh as he glanced at the woman who'd just sworn in the chapel. The bride-to-be, who he assumed was her sister, looked amused, but everyone else wore horrified expressions. A few of them inched away as if lightning might strike her and get them in the process. At first glance, he'd noticed she was pretty, but as he took in her long dark hair and Asian features, the adorable blush on her cheeks and the deep red lips, he thought pretty didn't cut it. In fact, he was thinking he'd like to know more about the hottie with the sailor's mouth. She was probably only in town for the wedding, though. He definitely would have noticed her earlier if she lived here. There was no place to hide in Hope Springs. Oh, sure, you could try to hide out at home, but the busybodies in town wouldn't allow it for long. Speaking of townspeople, Heath glanced at the time. Nearly 5. He'd picked up odd jobs here and there since he'd gotten back into town, but within a few minutes, he should be finding out if he was going to win the property he was eager to get busy fixing up. Then he could focus on building the dream he and his brother had talked about since they were old enough to think about the future. The town committee moves about as slow as a snake on a cold day. Not that they were cold-blooded. Well, not all of them, although it was a possibility with a few of the older ladies. The thought of other people holding his future in his hands made a lump form in his gut. If only he hadn't left such a bad impression back in high school, but he couldn't do anything about that now. Just keep proving he'd changed and hope for the best. The hottie glanced back toward the wedding party. She carefully schooled her features, but the blush remained. Sorry about that. I just remembered that I need to make a call for work. Please, excuse me. She rushed out of the chapel, moving surprisingly fast considering the super tall heels on her feet. Heath dropped his hammer in his toolbox and gave the floorboards and formerly wobbly bench another test. Did you need anything else? He asked, addressing Preacher Hadfield. Nope. Thanks for taking care of it on such short notice. I meant to get it fixed weeks ago. Heath took up his toolbox, ignoring the disapproving looks he got from the wedding party. He didn't even have to swear in church to earn them. It was another thing that had him worried when it came down to getting the town committee to accept his proposal. Ad being from the wrong side of the tracks and having the wrong dad, and sometimes he thought he was stupid for even dreaming Mountain Ridge could be his. It'd be easier if Cam were here. He was the charmer, the courageous soldier, and the more impressive of the two of them by far. But he was out there fighting for their country, so Heath could fight for this. His friends Royce and Sadie were currently the town's golden couple, and with any luck, the good words Royce had put in about him, as well as the fact that he was in a band with Sadie, would go a long way. The property he was after was right next to their place after all, and if they weren't afraid to be his neighbors, surely the committee would see that as a good sign. When he'd first heard the property was going up for sale, he'd had no idea how many hoops he'd have to jump through to try to buy it. Who knew there were still places where the town committee got to decide who bought land and what the owner could do with it? That was Hope Springs, Wyoming for you, though. It both irritated him and endeared the place to him at the same time, although he wasn't sure how that made any sense. Man, he couldn't remember the last time he'd been this anxious. It was so much nicer to keep his nose in his business and not care about much else. When he pushed out of the church, his pulse quickened at the sight of Miss Holy Shitballs herself leaning against the brick exterior. She had one foot propped against the wall, which had her skirt hiked up to mid-thigh territory on that side. He grinned at her. "Hey, are they sending the preacher after me with some holy water?" she asked, craning her neck to glance behind him. "I think they're gathering wooden stakes, actually, but I guess if you're standing out here in the sun, they're not going to be very successful." She placed a protective hand over her heart. "Vampire or not, I don't think a wooden stake to the chest would feel very good." "True. If it gets ugly, I'll step in. Vouch for you. Considering the way they looked at me, though, I don't know if that'll help or hurt your case."
One side of her mouth kicked up, but as her gaze rose to his face, her almost smile faded and her eyebrows drew together.
"Hey, you're Heath Brantley, aren't you? I didn't recognize you at first."
He tried to place if he'd met her before, but he was sure he wouldn't have forgotten a girl like her. But then pieces from town gossip, talk of the upcoming wedding, and Sadie's stories clicked into place.
"You must be Quinn Cicada."
"Must be? So you don't remember me from high school?" He shifted his toolbox to his other hand.
"No. Should I?"
"Poofed. Probably not with all your girls."
Dang, did I hit on her before?
He knew she was Sadie's age, and he'd always made sure to stay away from the younger girls in high school. He was already the town rebel and hadn't needed to give the quilting ladies another reason to send the police after him. Judging by how many times cops had showed up at his house to just ask a few questions, they'd thought he committed every crime in town. Not that there was much to report. It was usually about tracks and fields that broke trespassing laws, disturbing animals with loud noises, or the infamous cow tipping with a few minor theft complaints and "someone smelled marijuana" thrown in. Quinn straightened and poked a finger at his chest.
"You once called me Squirt. I came up to you, said hi, and you said, 'What do you need, Squirt?'"
Her eyes flashed, and she advanced a step closer. Even with her giant heels on, she was pretty damn short, but he didn't think now was a good time to mention that.
Are you sure that was me?"
"Of course I am. I had a huge She clamped her lips together and shook her head, her cheeks coloring again. He lightly cupped her elbow to see if he could fluster her a little more and get her to finish that sentence. He liked where it was going.
"Go on."
She shook her head and then lifted her chin. "If Sadie hadn't spent the past few months saying nice things about you, I'd have some choice words for where you can stick your flirtation."
"But I won't call you Squirt anymore, I promise."
He shot her a grin.
"How do you feel about Half Pint?"
"Ah!" She smacked his arm and he laughed. It only took her a second to join in.
"Quinn!"
The bride-to-be stuck her head out of the door.
"Hey, we've got to wrap up the rehearsal so we can run the last of the errands and head to dinner. Hurry up and get all your swearing out now, then get your—"
She glanced back into the church and lowered her voice.
"But back in here."
"How mad are Chi-Chi and Ha-Ha?" Quinn asked.
"They haven't said a single word, just lots of polite nodding."
"Uh-oh." Heath assumed they were talking about their parents. He'd noticed the two older women on their side had occasionally given instructions in another language, Chinese or Japanese or maybe Korean or maybe something else. He wouldn't know the difference.
"Yeah," her sister said, eyes wide. "And the Rutherfords are asking the preacher about the history of the church and where the stone came from, even though they clearly couldn't care less. Now tell the guy who caused the swearing goodbye and come on."
She flashed Heath a quick smile and ducked back into the church. Heath put a hand on his chest.
"I caused the swearing?"
"Oh, no," Quinn said, sticking one finger in the air. "I've got a swearing problem. Just ask my parents. Actually, don't ask them, because it's kind of a sensitive subject. Ask Sadie. She'll tell you. It most definitely didn't have anything to do with you." The way she avoided his gaze made him think that wasn't totally true. A smug sense of satisfaction wound through him. He was about to ask if she was going to be in town for a while when his phone buzzed. Quinn's did, too, and she reached into her purse, her movements slightly frantic. Heath took his cell out of his pocket, wondering if simultaneous text meant another town drill was in effect. The last one was to prepare them for a stampede, even though he doubted there'd been any since the West was won, and before that, it was to alert everyone to an emergency meeting called because their usual float supplies vendor had gone out of business and they were worried about how it'd affect the Frontier Day's parade. But then he read the message. The town is split on the bids for Mountain Ridge. We will have a meeting tonight at 7:30 to discuss the matter further. Your attendance is required. Tonight? Quinn muttered. How am I going to pull that off with all the wedding stuff? Foreboding pricked Heath's skin. You're not. She looked at him, confusion clear on her features, and then she noticed the phone in his hand. She leaned in and read, and since she'd find out eventually anyway, he let her. You're the other bid? She asked. I'm going to be the winning bid. The muscles around her jaw tightened, and something hard and, to be honest, scary, overtook her expression. Over my dead body? If you're my competition, I'm going to crush you. A moment ago, he'd been thinking he should ask the girl out, and suddenly he wanted nothing more than to get away from her. Don't count on it, Squirt. Hot bursts of anger traveled through Quinn's veins as she stomped back into the church, and it seemed like more swearing was inevitable. There was no way Heath Brantley could do a better job of running Mountain Ridge Bed and Breakfast than she could. In her practically non-existent spare time, she'd studied different design themes, envisioning everything the 8-bedroom building could be. She wanted to keep the charm and hominess, but renovate more on the simple and sleek than frilly, overly floral side. She knew about the dozens of certificates she'd need, everything for renovations, starting an LLC, and the other documents required to open a business. She knew Wyoming commercial law like the back of her hand, and she was disciplined and driven. She'd wanted Mountain Ridge for longer than she'd wanted anything, and there was no way any guy, regardless of how hot he was taking it from her. Is he seriously going to take phone calls and greet guests? Sit in the main room and organize family activities? Go ask people if they need more towels? How does he think he can run a bed and breakfast? You okay? Grayson asked, putting his hand on her arm, and she got angry all over again because the soft touch didn't ignite near the desire that the brief brush of Heath's calloused fingers had brought. Of course, Grayson had soft hands. He typed on a computer, made phone calls, and spent hours in meetings. There was nothing wrong with that. Don't worry about my parents. They'll forget your slip in no time. Slip. Right. Who the hell cared about that at a time like this? Her bid was in danger. She'd spent the last 3 years working at her father's commercial real estate company, starting with leasing offices and eventually moving up to acquiring and selling properties. She closed deals, oversaw remodels, clients liked her, loved her, actually. But she always had Chi-Chi over her shoulder, telling her the things she did wrong and frowning at her if, heaven forbid, she showed excitement about closing a deal. The rest of the guys got to slap each other's backs, go out for beer and a game of golf, and she was supposed to nod quietly and go about her business. Every time she'd had a bad day at the office lately, she told herself that it was only temporary. The end was in sight. Soon she'd have her own bed and breakfast where she could laugh as loud as she wanted, make small talk, meet new people, help arrange relaxing vacations, and live within walking distance of her best friend. Quinn, darling. Quinn glanced into Grayson's clear blue eyes and faked a smile. I'm fine, just hungry. Let's get this done and then we'll grab dinner. And after that, she'd call in reinforcements and figure out a game plan to meet with a
Sample complete. Ready to continue?